So nice to be back in full church. It's been an awfully long time since we've been able to sit shoulder to shoulder and see one another's faces in this place. For those of you who are visiting, you may have some sense, or you may not, that the congregation in our church swells and then shrinks a bit depending upon the time of year. And in the summertime, we oftentimes have a church that's packed shoulder to shoulder, and it's especially wonderful that you would be here on our family reunion day. So thank you for being with us. And Lynn, it's so nice to have your voice added to the voices that proclaim the gospel in this place. Some of you already know because you were here yesterday, but Lynn was ordained to the diaconate yesterday by our bishop, Paul Gordon, and it was a wonderful, wonderful day, and it's a moment of great celebration for our church. The role of the deacon is the role of servant, and so we will hear Lynn's voice among others proclaiming the gospel. We will see her setting the table here before our Eucharist, and we will hear her because her ministry is a ministry not in the church, but in the world. We will hear her voice proclaim the dismissal. Like, yep, it's time to go out and be love in the world. One of the things that you know, if you are a person of faith, is that one of the principal attributes of people of faith is that we are a people of story. Our traditions, our rituals, our doctrines, our dogma, all of the teaching, even at times the art that decorates a church, all of those come from rich ancient stories. We, of course, as an Abrahamic religion, our story springs out of the Hebrew Scriptures, through the Hebrew Scriptures, and into the Christian Scriptures. And in the Christian Scriptures themselves, we have this elevated place for the Gospels, these four books that are at the front part of our Christian Bibles. And maybe some of us know, and maybe some of us don't know, that each of those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for the most part, tell the same story. Of course, each evangelist, we call those gospel writers evangelists, each evangelist tells the story from his own perspective and his own context, most certainly have an agenda, and then there's a style piece there too. So maybe we remember or maybe we don't remember that Matthew tells the story of Jesus through the lens of Judaism. Matthew, the evangelist, is seeking to communicate the story of Jesus to the Jewish people of his day. Mark, the oldest of the Gospels and the shortest, is the most spare. He's just trying to get the word out, and he's trying to get it out as quickly as he can and as concisely as he can. Mark is the Hemingway of the Gospels. Luke's voice is distinct. Luke is writing not to the Jewish sympathetic crowd. Luke is writing to the Greek crowd, or what we today might call the spiritual but not religious. Those who are interested in the story of Jesus, who are hungry for wisdom that might contribute to well-being and human flourishing in their lives, but nevertheless have not been inside the club, haven't been allowed access to the Jewish ritual that so many of the others who are listening to the Gospels have had access to. And then John, of course, the newest Gospel, John is the Faulkner of the Gospels. If John could use a word in a sentence, he's going to use it. So if we think about Mark and John juxtaposed one to another, Mark's telling of the stories is like, Well, Jesus and his disciples went down to the lake. They did a thing, and many were healed and saved. And then we remember John's voice is like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, he just goes on and on and on and on. And so today, we hear Mark's voice. We hear this spare voice from Mark's gospel telling a familiar story. But I bet, in my mind, I bet rather than remembering Mark's version of the parable of the sower, for those of you who know the story, you probably remember Matthew's version of the parable of the sower. But I'm going to tell them both. And we're going to have a little fun here too. But if you're listening to this story that Mark is telling, that Jesus is telling through Mark's voice, he talks about a farmer, someone who goes out to sow some seed. And Mark's super spare about it. He's like, yep, you drop a seed into the ground, the seed grows, you see a stalk, then it ripens and it's harvested and it's done. And we really don't know anything about it. It's like magic. It's mystery. It's wonderful. And then Matthew tells a much longer story of the parable of the sower, where he talks about a farmer who sows seed here, there, and everywhere. Do you remember this? Some of you remember these stories. The most distinctive characteristic that I think that we forget when we're listening to this parable of a sower, someone who sows seed, is that God must be the worst farmer on the planet. God sows seed everywhere. God makes no mind to sow seed in fertile ground, no mind whether the seed is in barren ground or on rocky ground or along a pathway. God just goes about the work of sowing seed wherever God wants to sow it, and the seed ends up everywhere. Right? Do you know this part of the story? Yeah, get in there. Hey, Dave. There's seed everywhere, almost everywhere. We have one more aisle. So God sows seed everywhere. And when Matthew tells the story, rather than when Mark tells the story, he says, here's the deal. Sometimes the seed just falls upon a path and it finds no purchase in the soil and it's eaten by the birds. Sometimes the seed finds its way into soil that is shallow. It doesn't have depths for its roots. And it springs up very quickly, and then the flower fades quite quickly too. And then sometimes the seed is sown into soil that is full of weeds and thorns. And instead of that plant having a chance to come to full maturity, it's choked out by the weeds and the thorns. And then there's, of course, that last piece, which, you know, those of us who are uber pious and want the best for ourselves and the best for God, we hope that we're sown in that deep and fertile soil where we get plenty of water and plenty of sun and our roots go quite deeply and we spring up and we come to full, abundant, ripe harvest as a plant. But what we know about this story and this imprudent farmer is that the farmer just keeps sowing seed, right? And the farmer doesn't really, we don't really have a choice about where our seed is sown or where it's not sown. It just ends up everywhere. There are times when we find ourselves flourishing. Have you ever flourished? Have you ever found yourself flourishing? Yeah. Sometimes we find ourselves flourishing, and we know that our seed is going to have great, rich harvest. And I don't know about you, but I don't always flourish, right? I don't always, well, sometimes I'm just fine, right? Sometimes I'm just fine. Everything's fine. And I'm not saying that this is about you. I'm saying it's about me. Sometimes I'm not flourishing. Sometimes I'm not even fine. Sometimes I'm struggling. I find myself struggling. And I know in that struggle, church, none of us were able to choose where our seed fell, right? If you find yourself struggling, I want you to know that what the story says is that your seed falls upon the path, and then your seed is eaten by the birds. If you find yourself struggling, what I want you to know about yourself is you are the only one in the room. You are the only one in the room who is feeding the birds. Thank you for feeding the birds. You are in partnership with a generous God, even if you can't feel it right now. If you are feeling just fine, life's neither that great or that bad, I want you to know that you are surrounded by God's love and surrounded by seedlings and community that is growing up around you to support you, and that you are not alone. And if you are flourishing, I would ask of you that you share your bounty, not just one with another, not just with the people who are sitting in this church, maybe on a Sunday, maybe week after week, but with the world. When we hear this story, I oftentimes think that we hear it in terms of like, golly gee shucks, if I were only one who was lucky enough to have found rich and fertile soil so that I could have produced a great crop. But I'm here to tell you that I don't exactly know why. But that's not how the garden was designed. You're right where you're supposed to be. Share the love. Amen.